Mike Wise is the president of the board of WBCRLP, a low-power FM station in Great Barrington, Massachusetts. On the phone is Mike Wise, the president of the board of directors of WBCRLP, a low-power station in Great Barrington, Massachusetts. Mike, welcome to the show today.
Glad to be here.
We're glad to have you, too. And can you tell us how long has WBCR been on the air?
We've been on the air since about 2006, I think, 2005, 2006. I say, I have to be approximate, because I wasn't present at the creation. I've only been on the station a couple of years. What I read in the files, but I'm not the expert on how we got started.
Sure. Can you tell us what kind of impact do you see the station having in Great Barrington?
Well, I wish I could say there was more impact than I see. At the moment, we are pretty low key. I think at the original project had a lot of enthusiasm, got a lot of people involved who were active in the community, and those people have mostly drifted away now. And it's not as important as it should be, probably. I'm being honest.
No, that's a great answer. I think we're approaching this issue at a point when people are probably deciding whether they're going to apply or not. So I think hearing all sorts of advice is best, and honest advice obviously is best too. So I guess you're attempting ways to make the station more relevant or useful in the community?
That's what I would like to do. At the moment, we are trying to keep our heads above water. As the volunteer base is dwindling, it's a challenge.
And is that because of the low power limitation, do you think, mostly? If you were a full power station, would you have this same sort of problem?
I don't think so. I don't think that's the issue. I think that it is a combination of high enthusiasm followed by a blowout, and also the obsolescence of the technology, quite frankly. All the people who are interested are my generation, which is to say, boomers. We only rarely get younger people involved who stay longer than a couple of months and then go on to do something else. And I think it's possibly because the whole medium is just not part of the experience of people under the age of 50 very much.
Yeah, I think they just announced this week a FM radio chip in cell phones for the first time. So it's FM radio, the terrestrial radio, has been kept out of the digital realm, sort of.
Exactly.
Is there a way to combat that, or are you trying to morph the project into a digital project, or?
We are online, of course. We have some listeners in New Zealand. We like our peculiar combination of things. Are we doing anything more active about that? Again, my current project is mostly to keep our head above water. I'm in the job somewhat inadvertently. I was the vice chairman of the board, and the president said that he was too busy, and so I suddenly found it on my lap. And I discovered things which needed to be fixed at the corporate level, and I haven't had very much time to spend on the making us a radio station.
Sure. Can you tell us how difficult it is to kind of administratively run a low-power FM station? Is it a lot of work?
It can be. We had some meetings last year about this and determined that we really need to find a way to hire somebody to handle all the little stuff, because little stuff doesn't need to be done. Volunteers are not really excited about doing a lot of little stuff. And it saps the enthusiasm of the people who are willing to be always stuck doing little stuff. If we could find a way to hire somebody for maybe 10, 15 hours a week, that would help a lot. We're stuck at the moment with a very high rent on the property we bought, we're leasing it, when we thought we were going to go full power. And we have a much larger studio than we actually use. So we got to solve that to free up some money to hire this person to handle all the little stuff.
And what are the actual requirements? What are you required to do by the FCC every month or every year in terms of staying on the air?
As far as I can tell, very, very little. They don't pay a lot of attention to the low power people as long as we don't get in somebody else's way.
So you basically have to just follow a couple rules, like station IDs on the hour?
Oh, yeah. We do the station IDs when we're supposed to, and we keep the log. I'm unaware that anybody at the FCC has ever bothered to ask us to look at the log in 10 years, but we do keep it. and we will be reapplying for our license this year. The whole state of Massachusetts is up this year, so we have to put in the paperwork for that.
And is that difficult in an all-volunteer organization, or is it a level of bureaucracy that's kind of manageable?
I'll let you know in a few minutes. The one that has to do it. And we have to have it in by the 1st of December. It's done online these days, so it's pretty simple. When we transferred our full power license last year, that was pretty simple from us anyway.
And you were trying to get a full power license and you didn't, or what?
The construction permit, but raising the money to do it proved to be difficult. My predecessors had not in fact done anything about it, and I was facing a one-year deadline to get it all done, and we just couldn't figure out a way to do that, so we transferred it to WFCR.
If you were, I guess there's people around the country right now considering whether to apply for a low power station. What kind of advice would you give them?
To be realistic about it, it's fun to do. It can be the basis for a kind of a radio club. It could be a local community outlet if it was run that way. We might become that again. At the moment, we're an outlet for people who are doing their thing on the radio station. The community contact we have here is principally that we offer Spanish language programming. Nobody else does. And we have a Hispanic community that appreciates that.
And can you, what other sort of programming is it? Is it mostly music otherwise, or?
It's mostly music and a few quirky personal interest programs, computers, cooking, conspiracy theories,
and
American policy.
And it's all, and everyone in the community has access to the station?
Oh, yeah. You have to apply. We have a fairly rigorous qualification program to be sure that people know what they're doing when they get on board.
So you initially give them some training about the rules and regulations?
Oh, yeah. I had radio experience before I did this, and it took me about a month to finish it.
And then after that, they're on their own to do their show, pretty much?
Pretty much. Oh, yeah. We don't have an engineer. When you're on the board, you're on your own.
And do you have volunteer requirements with the station? They have to do volunteer?
We do, although it's a self-reporting honor system, so how much volunteer work actually gets done is problematic.
All right, well, thank you for talking to us today and giving a little advice to the folks who maybe be considering applying for their own low-power FM licenses in October.
I think it's a great idea. Years ago, when I noticed that the NPR affiliate in my metropolitan area was resisting this, I stopped giving them money because I thought that they were just trying to squash the competition. We probably are in a different niche than the NPR folks, though, so I think that there's room for all of us.
And they say that studies indicate that if you start listening to one radio station, then you probably start listening to more than one radio station. So
could be.
I think the extra interest gets spread around, and radio probably, as you're saying earlier, needs all the help it can get at this point.
Yeah.
All right, well, thank you. Michael Wise with WBCR in Great Barrington, Massachusetts.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Michael.